I almost preached on praise today. I was between about three sermons. And I almost brought back a series that I did some years ago. And then the Lord took me into the book of Luke. And I think that's where we're going to land today. Who knows? Maybe God will change it halfway through. But we're going to look into the book of Luke, I believe. But almost really went into a message on praise, because I think that we often forget about it. I think we often just chalk praise up to being a few songs that we sing, and it is so much more than that, and it'll unlock so much more in your life than that if we can ever really understand what it is and receive its fullness in our life. But we're going to go into the Word into, let's say Luke chapter 8 is where we're going to end up. Glory. Luke chapter 8. Mm-hmm. The Lord had me back into Proverbs this week. I'll just tell you this. 3 or 4 years ago, I did a message, and I think I titled it, someone might have to help me, but I think I titled it, "The Locusts Are Coming." I almost preached it again. It was really blessing me this week. And believe it or not, it's scriptural. The Bible in the book of Proverbs, chapter 30, maybe we'll get there in a few weeks. Maybe I'll bring it to life again. The Bible says in Proverbs 30 that there are a few species that we have to consider. And the locust is one. The ant is one. The spider is one. And the coney is one, all within a couple of verses. And boy, is it good. How many would know God would bring, maybe a lot of people probably didn't even know that spiders were in the Bible, and you thought they were of the devil. And God uses them to speak to our heart, to minister to us. Some of the other things that you might consider creepy. And God was just blessing me, ministering to me again out of that and sharing some new revelation to me. That's why I almost went there, but we're not going to do that today. I believe Luke 8 is where we need to land. How many have ever felt like you were behind everyone else? In life? In your family? You might consider to yourself, why am I the messed up one? Or the forgotten one, or the outcast, right? Every family sort of deals with that, right? The outcast, the one that always seems to be the one making mistakes. On the workplace, in life, in marriage, in all kinds of circumstances and settings, we could find ourselves that we're always coming up short. And there is a great story in the Bible about really two people that, and the one specifically is always coming up from behind. For many years, the Bible says she was sort of ostracized and forgotten and overlooked. But I'm so thankful that even if that is who we are today, if you can identify with being the one who always seems to not make the right decision, or you can identify being that one that is always coming up short or behind, or the messed up one, or the one that doesn't always make the greatest choices or always coming from behind, there is a good word for you today. A good word from God today, for His people today, to let you know that even if you're coming from behind, you're still on your way. Hallelujah. And that He's not done yet. And so I want to share this with you today in Luke chapter 8. Let's begin reading around verse 40. I was going to read 40 through 50, but I'm just going to read the first four verses probably. And look what it says beginning of verse 40. And I may read a little bit different translation today because you'll understand in a moment. It says in verse 40, "So it was when Jesus returned that the multitude welcomed him, for they were all waiting for him.
And behold, there came a man named Jairus, and he was a ruler of the synagogue. And he fell down at Jesus' feet and begged him to come to his house. For he had an only daughter about 12 years of age, and she was dying. I love a story within a story. Just the Word of God is so fascinating. And trust me when I tell you there's a reason that Jairus' daughter and this woman are in the same verses. Oh, I just love the Word of God. It's fascinating. The more you learn and the more you understand, it will excite you. I'm not kidding you. If you really get a hold of the Word, it'll make you shout, even if you're not a shouter. I promise. But as he went, the Bible says, as he went, the multitudes thronged him. Now a woman, having a flow of blood for 12 years, say 12 years, and the girl was how old? I wonder if that's just a coincidence. Nothing in the Word is just coincidental. I promise you that. Don't let any preacher ever tell you that lie. It all has purpose. It all has meaning. Now, a woman having a flow of blood for 12 years, and the young girl was also 12 years, two characters in the same story, who had spent all of her livelihood on physicians and could not be healed by any. I like this next verse. She came from behind. My translation says, she came from behind and touched the border. How many of you know if you ever get yourself in trouble, you're going to run for the border? Hallelujah. Right? Not just the border. I mean, this was me yesterday. I was out of state, and brother, I was a little over the speed limit. And when I saw, he said again, I was a little, and I happened to see the cop, and I thought, oh, I'm out of state. And you know what that means. But I was only a couple miles to the border. And I thought, once I cross the border, hallelujah. That's why this word came to my heart. You can't get me. I can step across and say, na 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 na. You can't get me. Because you ain't the Fed. Now, if you's the FBI, you could get me. So I just prayed my way. For 2.2 miles, I watched it. I knew it was 2.2 because I watched my odometer. I was watching closely if I could just make it to the border, and I made it. Hallelujah. But I wasn't going that much over. But I was thinking, if I just get to the border, when you and I get in trouble, we'll run for the border. The next time you see my mom in the news, you'll know this about her. She's going to run for Mexico. All right? The next time her mugshot comes on the TV, wanted, there's no doubt where she'll be. She'll be heading for the border, as all of us would. If you were like any of us who've ever made a bad decision in life and wish you could go back, oh, come on, I can't be the only one in this place who ever made a decision, and thanks be to God for his grace, mercy, forgiveness, and love, you and I get to sit here, warm a chair, and be a recipient of that grace. Hallelujah. And so the Bible says she came from behind and touched the border of his garment. Some of your translations say touched the hem of his garment. And immediately her flow of blood got better. Improved. Is that what it says? It stopped. Thank you. Lois is paying attention today. Hallelujah. Mark it down, write it down. Hallelujah. Prayer is working. Notice. Don't overlook. Surely you can't. Notice the heading begins. If in your Bibles like mine, the heading of this chapter, it will even say Jairus' daughter healed. But yet the heading in your Bible may say that, but yet there's a story of the woman with the issue of blood right in the midst of the text. I love it. There's sort of a change in a change in the focus of what we think it's going to be about to what it's really about. this woman. The text begins by talking about Jairus and his daughter, who is 12 years old. And then it switches to talk about a woman who was coming from behind. Everybody else was in front of her. Everybody else was closer to Jesus than she was. Anybody in the church ever feel like everyone else knows more than you? I mean, seriously, there's always somebody in every church that thinks they know everything. And they may. And then there's always someone in every church who feels like they're the least spiritual knowing person among them all. But this word is for you. I don't care what you don't know or what you don't understand or what you can't comprehend or none of those things. You are that woman today coming from behind. And there's a word today that God has for you and I, that you don't have to be the one right in front of Jesus. You don't have to sit on the front row. You don't have to be. You don't have to drive the nicest vehicle. You don't even have to drive one. God has a word for you and I today for every person that might have to come from behind everyone else. God wants you to know that even if you're coming from behind, you're still coming, and that you can still be a recipient of whatever it is that He has. I love that about God. You didn't have to get here early, and the only ones that get blessed are the ones that sit up front. That don't happen. God will bless you whether you're in the front or on the back or in the balcony. Or there's no room here and you're standing outside. God will bless you no matter who you are and where you are. Because you're going to come from behind. Hallelujah. Stay with me. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, many of you know it well. Know the verse very well. It says, to everything there is a season, a time, and a purpose under heaven. There's a correlation between time and purpose. Every season that we experience, we just entered the spring season, right? The growing season, and it has purpose, right? The fall of the year is a specific time, and it has purpose. You and I need to understand that about God, and whatever it is that we're enduring right now or whatever season we've come through, it has a specific time of your life, and it always serves a purpose. We talked a little bit about purpose last week online. Mm-hmm. He ministered to you and I about our purpose. How many have ever had an appointment of some kind? And when you have any appointment, doctor's appointment, lawyer appointment, right? Going to the dentist, whomever it may be, you're very conscious of your time. If I have an appointment, and usually my calendar's got things in it, I'm conscious of my time. Because I don't like waiting, and I don't like waiting on anybody else. I mean, I've spent the last week trying to get a hold of my bank a couple of times, only to call and get that message. We're experiencing a high call volume. Please wait, and the next available representative will be with you. And you wait, and you wait. 55 minutes later, I'm still waiting. An hour and 15 minutes, I'm still waiting, and hallelujah. And they put the whole music on to try to keep you at peace and to try to keep you distracted. You do know that. Try to get you singing along, humming along, thinking about something else, not realizing how bad that it is. Not wanting you to recognize that you're wasting your time waiting. There's nothing I hate more in the world than waiting. Nothing. I don't like to wait at the doctor anywhere, the lawyer, the bank, anywhere. I don't like waiting. And if you've ever realized that you've ever been running late or that you're running out of time, there's sort of a sense of urgency that comes over you. If you've ever was running late for church, or some people just stroll into church late, they're just who they are, right? I'm one of those people, I like to be early, I got to be sort of on time, right, for everything. But if you ever notice that you're running late, there's sort of a sense of urgency that comes over you, right? You get in a hurry, you start panicking, thinking, I've got to get there. Yes. And so, time becomes important to us. Even the older we get, not only does time become important to us because we realize we don't have as much of it. But even as we get older and we've endured more, we begin to consider things we never would. When we're young, we might desire things that as we get older, we don't. The older we get, the less we care about other people's opinions. You don't care what people think. You dress for comfort, not for to impress. Hello? And if you don't like what I have, right? If I don't like what you have, it doesn't matter to you because you're just so competent in you and you've lived enough to understand that's not what's important anyway. But when we were younger, we dressed to be noticed. We did things to be noticed, right? I'm going somewhere. Hang on. Okay. The reason Lois wears ugly shoes is because she's gotten older and she's not concerned with our opinions. She dresses for her benefit, right? And what she enjoys. Amen. Hallelujah. If you could all just see him today. Praise God. Those are like glow in the dark too, sister. You know what those shoes remind me of? It's been a few weeks. You know when the Bible says, this is true, I'm going to give you some word while I crack a joke. The Bible says that thy word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. You know why David said that? Because this is no joke. When they would walk in the night, in order for them to see where they were going, they had lamps on their ankles. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet. They only had light enough to see for the next step. Oftentimes you and I get frustrated because we're trying to see beyond tomorrow, next week, next day. And what David was teaching you and I right there, see how I'm throwing something else in. You're going to learn today. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet. It's saying you and I need to trust God for the next step, not just the next day, the next week, the next month, the next year. So many times we're asking a whole lot of God, and what David was teaching you and I is just trusting for the next step. Those shoes remind me of those lamps. That's how bright they are. And thy word is a lamp unto my feet. See, I'll give you the word. Hallelujah. When Lois chose him this morning, she did not know she'd be part of the message today. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. Those will light your path. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I want you to consider that the next time you're expecting a lot from God or you're expecting more. Just realize that oftentimes God's giving you just enough light, just enough revelation to take the next step. But trust him. Trust him. Amen. Heard somebody say, that's good. Yes, it's good. Hallelujah. Trust him for the step. Amen. Trust him for that next bill. I don't care if it's $20 you got to believe God for. Trust him for the $20. I don't care if you just got to trust him to get up tomorrow and to get through the day. It is day by day. That's what David was preaching is so many times we're trying to live God for the year. There's a lot of preachers who would give a word for the year. Man, you must be closer to, you must be sitting right next to Jesus himself, right to the side of the God the Father, because how can you see through the year when I'm trying to get through the day? Thy word is a lamp unto my feet. I can barely get through the month, let alone the week. Sometimes even the day, thy word is a lamp unto my feet. He'll give you the light you need to get through the next step. That's why you might be losing your mind right now. Rest and have peace right now. His word is a lamp unto your feet. That you will have what you need to take the next step. He is your strength, your source, your provider. He's awesome like that. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Now, back to the message. The Bible says that the multitude thronged around him. In other words, the multitude welcomed him and the multitude was waiting on him. Mm-hmm. We've often heard, we've heard it preached, we've heard it taught, that you often have to wait on the Lord. This is one of the things, as I mentioned a moment ago, that I personally have a difficult time doing, and that is waiting.
I don't like to wait on people. I don't like to wait on the mail. I don't like to wait on Amazon. I don't like to wait on anything. I especially don't like to wait on God. Right? We don't. And if you would be honest, you don't like waiting either. When God tells you that something is yours, that something is available to you, and then you have to wait for it, it's worse than Christmas morning as a child. Yeah. But God don't mind waiting, because I may be getting older by the day and by the hour and by the year, but God is not. And he does not mind waiting until the appropriate time, amen, to move. To the appropriate time. He's a God. I said in Ecclesiastes there a moment ago, to everything there is a season, a time, and a purpose. God is a God of rhythm. I taught years ago that God is a God of cycles and seasons. And if you and I would ever get in sync with God and his cycles and his seasons, you'd know what's coming next. That has a lot to do with the very text that we're in. Because sometimes in life, we just get off. Have you ever been living and just felt sort of off, not yourself? Like everything you put your hand to, it just wasn't, you weren't operating at your best. Hallelujah. That's like the text that we're reading, not Jairus' daughter, but the woman. Something messed up her rhythm. Got her sort of out of sync. You say, how do I know that? Because the life she was living for the last 12 years was different than the life she had been living prior to it. The friends she used to have 12 years ago, she don't have no more. She used to be able to get close in a crowd. Now she's not allowed. She wasn't allowed given her condition, right? The freedom that she once had, she no longer has had. She's had to live a different kind of life. Her life was sort of out of balance and out of sync, and nothing was really going right. And so this circumstance or this issue, go with me now, broke her rhythm. It got her out of sync. It made her become someone who she is not. Become someone she is not. It overwhelmed her. Her circumstance dictated her life. In other words, what she was going through was dictating her life. I don't know, maybe you can't understand that, but there have been some things in my life that have happened that sort of have dictated and controlled my life. Mm-hmm. To the degree that it changed everything, and it affected everything. This woman's life, she was dealing with a circumstance that affected everything. It affected her finances. The Bible says she was broke. Had nothing. She spent all she had on doctors. It affected her friendships, relationships, her ability to get married, her every aspect of her life. It had affected, it dictated what she would and would not do in a day. And so before she knew it, basically, the way I see it, she began to be held as a hostage in her own life. Sometimes you and I are held as a hostage in life. By a situation, by one decision, by a circumstance, by a decision maybe that somebody else made, but it's holding you hostage. Oh, come on. Don't pretend like other people don't affect your life. Other people's lives do affect us. When people look at us and say, I don't love you no more, it affects you. You can pretend it don't. You can look hard-hearted and unforgiving, but it bothers you. It'll hold you hostage if you're not careful. If we get a diagnosis from a doctor, if you are not rooted and grounded in the Word of God, it'll hold you hostage. You'll begin to believe it's over. If you allow people to define you by what you've done and some of your decisions and some of our addictions, it'll hold you hostage. Because who I was is not who I am today, and it's not who I'm going to be tomorrow. Come on, somebody. I say it often. I may not be where I want to be, but I'm certainly not who I used to be. Glory. In other words, I may not be perfect, and you may not always like what I do, but I am not that person, at least. Thanks be to God.
Amen.
glory. So her issue has broken her rhythm. Glory to God. Are you still with me? Paul made a profound statement. It comes to my memory. He said to the church at Galatians, he said, "You did run well, but who has bewitched you?" Immediately, we often immediately go to witchcraft. But what it means, even on a more personal level for all of us, is what has hindered you? Paul said, "You run well, but what is it that has hindered you?" And to make it fitting for all of us, to sort of blanket all of us, there's something that will hinder every one of us in this room. There are things that hinder me that don't hinder you, but there's something that hinders you. There's something that will hinder you and hold you hostage that I have victory over, but it'll hold you. Uh-huh. That's true. Are you with me? That's why I love the body of Christ so much. It's because the great thing about God and this body and why it's important to be connected to the body of Christ, meaning coming to church, is that reason right there. What I have the ability to walk all over might have the ability to hinder you. But what you have the ability to walk all over and have victory over, it might hinder me. And so as we're part of the body, you can help me overcome what used to defeat me, and I can help you overcome what used to defeat you. Why? Because we're connected as a body. And this is how I like to explain it. You're not going down because I'm not going down, and I'm not going down because God's not going down. So as the body of Christ, when we operate like the real church, the true church, you ain't going down because I'm not going down, and I'm not going down because he's not going down. Are you following me? That's what it is to be the real church. Glory to God. You can give the Lord a hand clap of praise because he's worthy of that right there. He is not leaving the throne. And so because he's not leaving the throne, a real brother or sister won't let you fail. They're not going to let you. You may falter for a moment. That's when a brother reaches out your hand, picks you up, and starts again a brand new day. His mercies are new every day. Yes. Hallelujah. So we don't have to be in fear and discouraged because of what's not working right now. You're about to come from behind. Yes, you are. You may feel like you're in the back of the crowd, the back of the room. You may feel like you're always coming up short, but I promise you, you're going to come from behind, and God has purpose in it. Glory to God. Are you still with me? Glory, glory, glory. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I got to get to my text. For 12 years, this woman was losing life. For 12 years, she was losing life. For 12 years, the Bible said she stopped being fruitful. For 12 years, she stopped really living. She stopped being productive. She wasn't able to be. If you've ever really been afflicted or had something in your life, you understand what I mean. It'll consume you. It'll consume you. It hindered her. It stopped her from being a woman. It stopped her from being a worshiper. It stopped her in her relationships and every aspect of life. Everything in every area of her life was on hold. Mm-hmm. Something interrupted her ability. Something interrupted. Glory to God. Her life and put her on hold. Thank you, Jesus. It is possible that sometimes some of us have the ability just to go through life and go through the motions. Unless you have a real affliction. And then you can't hide it. We're good in the church about putting on masks. I'm not talking about the ones you're wearing because of the virus. I'm talking about masks that cover up who you really are. We're really good at doing that in the church unless you've been afflicted by some kind of major thing.
then you really can't hide it. Then you really can't stop it. Then you really can't. This woman was on hold for 12 years. Think about sitting on the phone waiting for your bank or someone to pick up and being on hold for 12 years. I thought an hour and 15 minutes was bad before I hung up because I was tired of waiting. But she was on hold listening to the whole music for 12 years. Waiting for something to change, hallelujah. Waiting for something to be different, glory, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. 12 years. She suffered for 12 years. And the girl in the text, remember, Jairus' daughter that I mentioned a little while ago, was 12 years old. Right? Remember, I said it wasn't a coincidence, right? Why are both of these, why is the little girl at 12 years old, and why is the woman been dealing with this issue for 12 years? Why are they both dealing with life-threatening issues? How did the woman with the issue of blood story end up in the story that's supposed to be about Jairus' daughter? I'm glad you've asked. Let me explain. You didn't ask, so I'll share it with you. Amen. They're both in the same text. Because the woman and the little girl will always be intertwined together. Watch what I'm going to say. The woman and the girl are in the text together because the woman and the little girl will always be intertwined together. In other words, in every woman, there is a little girl that still remains down inside. And any man that ever knows how to be a real husband or really understands women will know that sometimes you will be hugging your wife, but there are times where the wife needs the husband to hug the little girl that's down inside. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. If you, men, listen up. If you have a hard time with women, that's one thing you need to learn. Is that I know you often thought they were a person with multiple personalities, kinda. Okay? Kinda. Just like women can be complicated, so can men. But inside every woman is a little girl. And whatever was done to or dealt with as a little girl will always be there. So sometimes that woman needs the husband to minister or to love the little girl. As you got older, how many have ever had to sit as an adult on your dad's lap? And there was nothing like having the embrace of your father even as an adult. And if you don't still have your father, then you know what I mean even more. Didn't matter what it was, there's something about that embrace. Or if it wasn't your parent, your guardian, someone that you loved and respected, because some of us didn't have the natural father that we could do with that with. But there was somebody like that in your life that God placed in your life. You need to understand that what God is speaking here and the reason these two are coming together is God wants you and I to understand that the two are always intertwined. Always. Hallelujah. I could take that a little deeper and help you, but I don't have time. Glory to God, because I've only got 10 minutes left. And I've got a ways to go. I'll expound on it. It's something I try to teach every man in counseling about their wife or about their fiance if they're before they get married, is to be able to identify the young girl in every woman. It'll make you a better father. It'll make you a better husband. Hey, it doesn't matter how old we are. It'll make you be a better father right now. I don't care what mistakes you've made. I don't care what kind of broken relationship you have with your children. It'll help repair it if you can begin to see the little girl that's in every woman. They didn't just turn out that way. Something happened. Reach the little girl. Minister to that. And the woman will change. Oh, Lord. I'm preaching to you, men. I'm helping you right now. You see cranky, miserable, irritable, or whatever, however you may describe the problem. But to every fruit, there is a root. You can't have fruit without root. What you're seeing and dealing with is fruit. What needs to be dealt with is the root, which is in the little girl. Always. Whew. That's powerful. That's all for free, and I wouldn't even plan to minister there today. Now back to the sermon. I'm entertaining myself. See, I enjoy preaching the Word of God. And if I don't enjoy it, you're not going to enjoy it. That's why preachers who don't enjoy preaching the Word of God retire. Get out of the way. Let somebody else do it. Who don't know as much, who doesn't have any degrees, let them do it as long as they enjoy preaching it. I'm serious. No time for boring preachers. People need to be saved. Glory to God. That's true, Frank. I believe it. Hallelujah. Glory. Now, the Bible says that Jesus was on his way to heal Jairus' daughter. I'm so thankful that there are miracles that happen in my life along the way. Oh, yeah. I preached a message one time titled that, Miracles Along the Way. God is a God that it doesn't matter if he came to church today to minister to Harry. Guess what? I can get touched along the way. That's why you need to always come to church expecting. That's why you need to wake up every day expecting. Because it's not about the destination, it's about the journey. Glory to God. When God shows up, he didn't arrive today just to be able to touch one person, but he's a God of multiple miracles and many facets and many levels that everyone within reach is able to get a touch from God. And that's proven in this story that he was in the midst of a journey to go touch a young 12-year-old girl. But while he was on his journey and headed in one direction, another woman said, "No, my time is running out." She woke up with an urgency and realized, as we were talking earlier, she was running out of time. She woke up and said, "I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired of dealing with this." Come on. Some of us have gotten to that point in life. I'm tired of living the way I've been living. I'm tired of waking up with this struggle. I'm tired of having to live like this. I'm tired. I don't even recognize myself. All of those things. And so she realized her time was up. There was something out of sync that wasn't jiving with her. She said, "I'm tired of not being able to have friends and a relationship. I'm tired of being broke, busted, and disgusted. And so I hear that someone is passing by that can help me." And although the law would not allow her to touch him, she said, "I really don't care about the law." And so the Bible says that she was in the midst of the crowd, in the back of the crowd, and that she came from behind. Everyone else was in front of her. Everyone else had crowded against Jesus, and some of them Jesus knew by name, and she didn't have a personal relationship with Jesus or anybody. She's the lost and forgotten, after all. But the Bible says that she comes from behind. I love the Word of God. She came from behind. And while he was on his way, the woman pressed through the crowd. She said in your text, let me through. If I touch the hem of his garment, what? I shall be whole. I'll be whole. She didn't just bust through the crowd. She bust from being behind. She didn't just bust through the people that were there. She was busting through every obstacle that she had dealt with in 12 years. She was breaking through every friend that had ignored her. She was breaking through all of her debt and all the fact that she was broke and had no money. She was breaking through the fact that doctors had given up on her and said there was nothing more that they could do for her. See, she was breaking through not just her circumstances, but the ideas of other people. She said, "I'm not going to settle for just that. I'm a woman that's been sick for 12 years, and it's taken a toll on her." And she woke up that day. She saw and witnessed an opportunity, and she decided, "I'm going to take advantage
advantage of this opportunity because this issue in my body, it's taking its toll on my body. It's taking its toll on my mind. It's taking its toll on my finances. It's taking its toll on my relationships and every other part of my life. And she said, I'm tired of dealing with it for 12 years. I'm not going to deal with it another year, another week, another day. Instead, I hear Jesus in the crowd, in the front of the crowd. She hears. Hallelujah. And so if you've ever looked up and found yourself behind in any way of life, this is a word that can minister to you. We'll wake up one day and realize how we could have done so many things differently. Could have, would have, should have. But we're here right now, and God has a word for every person that's ever said coulda, woulda, shoulda. And it's that you can come from behind. I don't care if you don't have any money in your retirement account, you're still going to retire. How? Because he's a God that will allow you to come from behind. Hallelujah. I don't care who walked out on you, who left you. He's a God that his grace, mercy, power, love, it extends from people that are in the front to those that are in behind. Hallelujah. And so she had an issue that distracted her, that messed with her for 12 years. So finally she woke up one day and saw an opportunity and realized that she has the ability to come out of this. Why? Because Jesus is passing by along the way. Hallelujah. Now the Bible says she's coming from behind. What you first must understand, in order for you to ever get ahead, you have to first be willing to recognize that you are behind. The reason that sometimes we haven't had the ability to overcome and get the victory that we need is because we've been unwilling to be honest enough to say, I'm coming from behind. You know, the same way we make excuses for our favorite sports teams when they have a bad season, like the Steelers. Will be, oh, it's a year of transitioning. No, they're just bad this year.
Glory to God. Don't throw anything at me, Mother. It's just truth. Hallelujah.
We'll make excuses for lots of things in life. Well, I'm in this position because the cause is not necessary to be told. What we have to first come to the understanding is I'm coming from behind. We have to first be willing to understand there are people that are in front of me. There are opportunities that are in front of me. Amen. And the only way I'm ever going to get there, the only way the woman ever was able to take advantage of the fact that Jesus was nearby was she recognized I'm coming from behind. I'm at a place that is different than everybody else that's in front of me. They're ahead of me. They've got a better chance of having a healing and a miracle from Jesus than I because I'm coming from behind. A lot of times when we're behind, we'll start criticizing everybody that's ahead of us as a way to deflect the fact that we're really behind. What God needs you and I to do is just be honest with the fact that I'm coming from behind. Yeah, I'm at a lower disadvantage than other people, but his word for you today is it doesn't matter your economic status, your education level, it doesn't matter what race you and I are, that you have the ability today to come from behind. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And so if you've ever felt like you're behind, sometimes we'll say things like, Lord, I just thought I'd be married by now. Or, Lord, I thought I'd have more money saved by now. Or, God, I thought I'd have the house with the cute white fence and the little dog, too, and all of those things by now. God, when I looked at my life 20 years ago, I never thought it would look like this. We'll say things like that. I thought, Lord, I'd have children by now. I thought I'd be happier by now. I never dreamed it would turn out this way. I thought I'd write my book by now, God. I thought I'd do this, God. I thought I'd have this career by now. You may have said that, but you're coming from behind. Hallelujah. Because we're recognizing the fact that we are coming from behind. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. I've learned one thing about it. When you recognize, like the woman with the issue of blood, that you are coming from behind and that you are out of time, you throw politeness out the window. How many have ever, there was something you needed and you weren't always polite to get it? Sometimes when it comes to getting something from God, you need to set aside being polite, being politically correct, and just go and get it. This is a moment when this woman ignored every protocol that was in place to protect everybody else, to receive something from God. Because she was out of time. Sometimes we have to be able to do that. Sometimes we can't just be cute coming to church and thinking we're going to receive from God being cute. No, sometimes we've just got to push everything else, every other obstacle out of the way, and get from God what it is that we need from God. Hallelujah. I'm not going to try to tiptoe around people and what they may think and what their temperament may be. I've come to church to receive something from God. I don't know about you, and if you want to be a spectator, that's fine, but I come to church to be a participator, and being a participator means I'm going to receive something from God. So if you're just here to be a spectator, get out of my way. I don't want to sit in the back. I want to sit in the front where I can participate and be the first to receive something from God. That's what she was saying. Get out of my way. Amen. There were spectators and people just seeing what they could see. And you always have that. She said, I don't have time to see what I can see. I only have time to receive. Get out of my way. Glory to God. I don't have time. Sometimes we just got to make that our declaration. I'm out of time. Wake up tomorrow and say, I'm out of time, you know. I'm going to go after God desperately and aggressively. Let every other wimpy, miserable, cranky Christian that shows up to be a spectator, just move them out of your way. Just be like a snowplow when you walk in church. Just push them out of the way and get your seat, get your place, and get in position to receive from God. That's what she was like. She shoved her way through that crowd because the Bible says they were thronged against him, meaning closer than elbow to elbow. She was nudging her way and weaving her way through the crowd just to get up front to grab the border of his garment. Hallelujah. The reason that you and I are here and assembling this in this place today is because we've got to recognize that we're out of time. We've got to recognize that God is trying to position you and I in this place for this time, for this season, to receive something. To receive something. To catch up. That you may have been coming from behind, but it's your catch-up year. Hallelujah. You need to receive it with you in your spirit today. This is your catch-up year. You've been sitting there and playing from behind all these years. Doesn't matter any church you ever go to, you're always coming up from behind. God says it's time to move you from the back to the front. That's why the Bible says, whoever first shall be last, and whoever be last shall be first. You're about to become the first. Hallelujah. You're going to move from being a spectator to a participator. Thank you, Jesus. Because why? You're understanding that you're running out of time. You're understanding that, like the woman, you're tired of living and dealing with leftovers and dealing with life as it has been, but you're coming into a brand new season, and I'm getting ready to catch up. Glory to God. We're going to make some radical changes in 2021. This is my year of coming from behind. Hallelujah. In a lot of ways, I'm going to tell you that in a few weeks, you're going to find out that this is the year for this church to come from behind. Everyone's been looking at all the great you've been doing. They haven't seen nothing yet, let me tell you. I'm telling you, we're about to blow people's minds and some of yours. I know now I just heard the doubt kick in right there. Boy, I felt that in the spirit. Some of you thinking, oh, come on, preacher. This church has fed more and given more than Fayette County Community Action and other organizations put together. That's the truth. That's the truth. And you have just scratched the surface, because the week before Mother's Day, I'll be making some big announcements, and we're going to have a little church meet right after church to kind of explain it and announce it. And go from there. No, it won't be live stream. Church will, but that won't. Sorry. You got to be here to be a part. There's some things you just can't put out until it's time to put out. How many of you know what I'm talking about? In other words, we have just scratched the surface of how to show this area and show them God is about to show up and show off like only he can do. I'm telling you, it's going to blow people's minds. You heard me say, if you watched last week, that we're about to experience one of the greatest moves of God. That move of God is separate, but it's connected, I promise you. You're going to see one of the greatest harvests of souls, one of the greatest outreaches that we have ever been able to be witness to. Stand back and get ready to watch what God is going to do. I'm telling you, it's going to be epic. Why? Because we're coming from behind. People may have counted you out. People have counted this church out. When this church launched 10 years ago, you wouldn't know how many pastor friends told me, oh, it won't even last a year. Watch us now. I don't say that boastfully, but I've said that this church has accomplished more in 10 years than some churches have accomplished in a lifetime. We've grown and fallen off. We've grown and fallen off. But one thing has remained the same, the Word of God. The ministry has come forth. From the day we launched on TV, it didn't matter how small the church got, how many people got mad and left, how many people thought I lost my mind, how many big things we were believing God for, it didn't matter, none of that. We never missed a day on TV. We never missed a day streaming the gospel around the globe. And now we minister to more people around the globe than we do in the United States of America every Sunday. The second most views that we get are in China, a place where they're not even allowed to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. And this church, Fresh Fire, takes the gospel of Jesus Christ into China every Sunday. That's God. Only God can do that. Only God. And he continues to grow and do greater. The reason God has given this church all that he's given, this building given to us free and clear, didn't pay a dime for it. The reason he gave us the first church building we ever did, we never paid a dime for it. Why? Because we believed God. I said we weren't going to go in debt, and we didn't go in debt, Frank. When we needed another building, what happened? God bless us with a building that would fit this church inside of it 20 times or more. That's God. Why? Because he's a God that'll always bless you when you're coming from behind. Because why? It ain't about you. The reason that this ministry has been able to do it, it has nothing to do with me. God can use any baboon to do what I do. I'm not discrediting myself or the anointing of God. I'm just simply saying it's never about a man. Don't ever receive that. Never. It's about the person who's going to be obedient to it, absolutely. It's about the fact that God needs some people to recognize that they have the ability to come from behind. If you look all through consistently through the Word of God, God always used people that others counted out. The men that Jesus himself surrounded himself with, his disciples, were men that others had already counted out, that others considered not good enough, holy enough, never would be right. Some of them didn't talk right. Some of them had a tongue. Some of them had an anger problem. Some of them doubted the very words that Jesus taught. Didn't they? The reason was, is because what God wanted to consistently be taught to you and I got to stop here, is that you can always come from behind. Not because of who you are, but because of who he is. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. I'm not overcoming because I'm great. I'm overcoming because he is. I'm not changing who I am because of me. I'm changing who I am because of who he is. I'm not going to die of this disease because of who I am. I'm not going to die of it because of who he is. It's always about him. And you can always come from behind because of how great that he is. Hallelujah. I wanted to share more, but we're done right there. Stand to your feet. Let's close. Thank you, Jesus. I'm coming from behind. You and I are coming from behind. This church is coming from behind. Hey, I want to even make a prophetic declaration. Fayette County is coming from behind. Why? We make jokes. We even made jokes this week about Uniontown, right? We make jokes. People laugh at us. You know, there's little memes. People in Pittsburgh, and I know you all watch us, but you still make fun of us. Make fun of us all you want, but because of what God is going to do here and because of the God that we serve and that we worship, God is going to bring Fayette County from behind. God is going to bring you from behind. God is going to bring this ministry from behind. Get ready. I'm telling you, I encourage you to be in prayer. And don't be in prayer about anything specific. Just say, God, where you lead, I follow. Lord, thy word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. Pray that. Think about those lanterns that are on your ankles, right? Think about, you don't need to see next week, next month, next year. You just need to see to take the next step. That's what we need to pray for this ministry over the next weeks and months to come. And what God's going to do, what he's going to reveal to you and I. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet. Because of his word and because of who he is, I'm coming from behind. Hallelujah. I want to pray for you that you have the strength, the courage to be able to come from behind. That you're going to leave in this place, that I want you to leave all self-esteem issues. I want you to leave everything that has been a hindrance and everything that has kept you in the back of life. I want you to leave it here today. Because you're coming from behind, that God's going to release a freedom over you. Everything that's hindered you and held you back, that you hadn't even fully dreamed of. Get ready. Then on our way out, we'll give today our tithes and offerings. But let's pray. Father, God, you are so great. Lord, you are so marvelous. Lord, you are so loving and so forgiving. God, me being able to stand here in this place today, right in this very moment, is just proof that, Lord, how loving and forgiving you really are. God, we're so grateful for your love and your forgiveness. Father, I pray for every person under the sound of my voice, God, that you would bring them from behind. Father, every person that has been hindered and held back, God, every circumstance and situation that has hindered us and held us back, I thank you that, God, today, like the woman with the issue of blood, that, God, we're going to be tenacious. God, we're going to be aggressive, but we're going to push through adversity, and we're going to say, my time is up, my time is up, and the Lord, we receive from heaven right now. Father, I just come against and curse, God, every obstacle, every hindrance in the name of Jesus, every weapon of the enemy that's come against God's people, that's held them back. We rebuke it right now in the name of Jesus. I call them to the front. I say, God, that you will make the whoever's at the tail, make them the head. I thank you that, God, whoever's last will be first. I thank you that, God, whoever has felt like they've never been enough, they'll never know enough, God, they could never do enough, God, that you'll do in them right now, God, something explosive and miraculous in the name of Jesus, because they're coming from behind. That, Lord, our neighbors won't recognize us. The community won't recognize us. God, Fayette County won't even recognize their own county when you're done doing what you're about to do in this place and through this place. Because we're coming from behind. That woman's life was never the same after she ran and touched the border. God, today we run to you. We run to you that, God, we might get a touch. Touch your people right now. In the name of Jesus, everyone that desires it, everyone that's bold enough, courageous enough to say, Lord, it's me. Father, do it. Do it. Bless him. Bless him, God. Bless him. Lord, just as the woman touched your garment, she was made whole. God, make people whole in the name of Jesus who need to be, who need to break free. God, I thank you today. There's breakthrough. I heard the Lord say breakthrough just now. Breakthrough. Breakthrough in their life. So, Father, I praise you for it. I bless you for it. God, I pray that you would bless the week ahead. God, your word is a lamp unto their feet, a light unto their path. God, bless every step they take as they walk out of this place today. God, their steps are ordered of the Lord, ordained of the Lord, and blessed. I thank you that, God, they're going to walk in favor they've never walked in before in every aspect of their life. God, I praise you today and we honor you. God, as we leave this place and we sow tithes and offerings, God, I thank you that you will bless it, that, Lord, you will multiply it, that, God, you're going to use it, that this church is going to do more and more and more, and that, God, lives are going to be changed, that, Lord, you're going to do one of the greatest, most powerful moves of God that have ever been witnessed or seen in this region, God, from this place, and we're blessed enough to be a part of it. So, God, thank you, and as we give, Lord, we just give, Lord, you would bless it and multiply it. Turn everything that is given today into souls, I pray. In the name of Jesus Christ, we bless you and we thank you. In Jesus Christ, your mighty name, the church says, amen. Hallelujah. We'll see you all Wednesday. God bless you.